Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in. Happy Monday to you. Well, I'm expectant and excited for today's show. My friend, singer-songwriter, worship leader Mark Allen is back in studio to lead us in a time of worship and encouragement. And, you know, I think this is probably the sixth or seventh time he's been in studio with us. And it's always amazing how God shows up in such a unique and personal way where we kind of come with our plan, as Scripture says, and then Lord determines our steps and guides our conversation in the way that he wants it to go. And we love that about God, because really you're the goal, that he be lifted up and that you encounter him. And so God knows what you need more than we know what you need. So we've set the table, we've prepared our hearts, but we are so expectant that God's going to move in our midst and minister to you in a way that you need most. And so maybe there's a storm raging in your life. I want you just to think about this as we move forward in today's show. What do you need from the Lord today? What do you need? Because we're praying that God would meet us here so that he can meet you right where you live. And I'm just excited to get Mark going on his music. He's got his guitar here, and we do have kind of a fun little thing. So once in a while, listeners will call in and kind of try to stump him a little bit with can you play us a song? Because he can pretty much play anything. And so if you've got a worship song that you want him to play, you call in, and he's so okay with saying, hey, I don't know that one, but it rarely happens. He knows most songs. So, and he brought in three copies of the Strong to Save album, which I still say is one of my top favorite worship albums. And he wrote every song, or co-wrote every song on that album. It's so worshipful. I cannot tell you enough. So the top three, the first three, I should say, to get on the air to talk with us today, we'll get a copy of the Strong to Save Emmanuel Live Worship Album. It is out of this world. So I'll give you that phone number right now, but then I would need to announce the winners for our writers contest. Here it is, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. So some of you have been waiting very expectantly to hear the winners be announced, because we've had our second annual Faith Radio Writers Contest. Over 300 of you submitted entries, which is pretty amazing. And we've got the top five places. You're invited to the station, as you know, for a luncheon, and you get a face-to-face meeting with an acquisitions editor from Bethany House Publishers. So first, I'm going to list the five runners-up, okay? So if for any reason one of these top five can't make it into the station, my understanding is we go down the line, and you're next in line to come to the station. So Chrissy Collins, congratulations, one of the top five runner-up. Jean Kinsey, Chris Atkins, Mark Kramer, Michael Dawson, and Elisa Palumbo. All right. So those are the runners up. And now the top five. Fifth place is Jamie Calloway. Henyer, I think that's your last name, the premature baby story. You're in fifth place. You're invited to the station. You'll get more information coming up soon. Ashley McDonald with a TSA story. It's a fiction story. Fourth place, congratulations. Third place, Nora Graham, Mom on Sunday Morning story. Excellent. I love that one. Second place, Tamara Shurikulk. I'm saying your name wrong. The widow who's renovating the bathroom story. Amazing, amazing. And first place, Cynthia Hirschberger, the Alzheimer's story. First place, congratulations. That was amazing. Woohoo!
Awesome.
That was Mark clapping for you. Congratulations. We'll post those on our website. So congratulations and thanks to all of you who took part in our second annual Faith Radio Writers Contest. Don't want to waste another moment. I want to introduce you to my guest, and we'll get this party started. Mark Allen is a singer, songwriter, and worship pastor for Emmanuel Christian Center in Spring Lake Park, Minnesota. He and his wife, Jill, have two beautiful children, and that's not an exaggeration because they're stinking cute, Grayson and Annabelle. And you can find more about him and his original music online at markallen.net. Mark, thanks for coming back in studio with us today.
You're welcome, Susie. Great to be with you today.
Well, you know the drill. You've been here many times before. We love to start out talking scripture, and you chose Job 38, verses 4 through 7. I can read them, or unless you've got them in front of you.
Okay. Yeah,
where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Talk about that passage.
You know, Susie, I think there's so many times that we get caught in our own little world seeing things from our perspective, and we forget that God set this whole thing in motion.
Amen.
And because he did, we forget sometimes to even trust him with the little things or the big things in our lives. And, you know, reading this is just a reminder to me. I almost sense a little bit of a sarcastic tone in the Lord's voice. Like, come on, where were you? Were you really there when I did this? Because don't you forget that I'm the one who set the cornerstones in place, and I'm the one who sets the boundaries and guards your life and walks with you through whatever valley and mountaintop experience you may walk through. And so for me, it's just a reminder that God is, and he continues to be who he was. And that's an encouraging thing, so that no matter what we face, he is someone that we can lean on.
That is a wonderful passage. And I was thinking as you're talking, we tend to two extremes. When life is good, we get bigger than we actually are. And when life is hard, our problems get bigger than they actually are. And I think that's why, you know, David says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know, it's like, let's remember and keep this in perspective. But we need those constant reminders, don't we? Because we live so much by what our eyes see.
Very good. So true.
So I know for myself, you know, that suffering becomes bearable when I remember that I'm not made for this place, that I'm passing through, that I'm made for this eternal home, and he's not left me to make this journey alone. And so I pulled out Tozer's The Pursuit of God. I wanted to read this excerpt. It's just a short one, but I'd love to have you comment on it, Mark. It says, a spiritual kingdom lies all about us, enclosing us, embracing us, all together within reach of our inner selves, waiting for us to recognize it. God himself is here, waiting, awaiting our response to his presence. This eternal world will come alive to us the moment we begin to reckon upon its reality. A spiritual kingdom is all about us, enclosing us and embracing us, all together within our reach. I think that is so powerful. Say, just talk a little bit about that. And just because as a songwriter and a worship leader, I know that that reality shows up time and time again in your music.
Yeah, it does. You know, the phrase that just really stood out to me is that when we reckon upon its reality, first of all, that's just beautiful language.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to even what we just read in scripture. There's some beautiful things in the poetry of it, and it paints a word picture. I think, you know, the thing that I continue to come back to, and it seemed like Tozer was getting towards, was this thought that at the end of the day, we continue to come back to the reality of who God is and that Jesus is designed to be at the center of it all. And, you know, I think there's so much that we can try and understand in our human minds, and we can try and put language and words to it, but there's really nothing that quite compares to the experience of knowing Jesus, knowing Christ and his death and his resurrection. And we try and create these word pictures, but ultimately it's just a description of something so much more profound that happens in the heart. And, you know, I'm reminded, even as you read that, you know, there's so much more that God is doing under the surface than we even always see. And sometimes we may feel that he's at work, but we don't always see the evidence of it. But I'm convinced that God is always doing more than we anticipate and more than we even are able to see and understand.
I so agree. And I've referenced this quote on the show before, but it's Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She says, earth is crammed with heaven, every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes for its holy ground,
wow,
but the rest sit around and pluck back blackberries. And I think the contrast of those who stop and see go, this is a sacred moment. Everybody else just, you know, oh, blackberries, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that in itself, just the reality of what Tozer wrote and just Browning's quote there is a reminder to stop striving. We've got to push the pause once in a while and reset and remember his greatness, our smallness, but his faithfulness. And so we're going to be playing some songs from your album, the Emmanuel Live Strong to Save album, and some live songs. But talk to us about the song Give All of Me. We're going to hear that in just a moment.
Oh, man. That's one of those songs that I think I don't think we've played it much as we've gathered together a few times, Susie. That is a song that was inspired. I don't know if you remember that old song we used to sing, the Cast My Cares Upon You Cares chorus.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about that whole idea of casting my cares, my worry, my anxiety. Because what I've found is that the way the Lord speaks is he says, cast your care, your worry, your anxiety on me and take my yoke upon you. And so many times I lay my burdens down and then all I do is I pick them back up again. And I walk around and wonder why I'm weary and exhausted and worn out. And the whole time I'm carrying a load that wasn't designed for me to carry. I was designed to carry his load, which is light. And he's the one who's supposed to take the heavy junk on himself.
Amen.
And so this is a song that's just saying, you know what? For many times, I think we feel like as Christians, no matter where we're at in our walk, whether we've been walking for 20 years or 200 days or, you know, long or short, we sometimes feel like we're inadequate or we're incapable of being loved by God because we don't know enough. And so we feel like all I have to give is all of me, but that doesn't feel complete and enough sometimes. And so this is a song that just says, you know what? I don't have a lot. I have not much to offer, but I give all of me and I give you my burdens and I pick up yours. And so that's a little bit about kind of where the song comes from.
It's a beautiful song. Here it is. Give all of me.
Got my rock and strength.
powerful song, Give All of Me. Listen to those lyrics. I will trade my worry and fear for the promised peace I find for this anxious heart of mine. I've not much to offer, but I give all of me. That's by Mark Allen, who's in studio. If you've got a worship song you want him to sing, we've got three copies of this Strong to Save album, Unbelievable. And I think equally as unbelievable will be the one that comes out soon here. Is it in the fall?
Yeah,
the
next September.
Album? Man,
yeah.
It's amazing. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. If you've got a song that you want Mark to sing, Romans 12 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I love that. You know, Mark, one of the last times we had Chip Ingram on the show, he said he often gets the question, how do I get unstuck? My faith has felt dry. How do I get unstuck? And he says, I always have the same answer, and some like it and some don't. But he said, surrender. He said, look at something in your life. There's something you might be white-knuckling and hanging on to too tight. We all do it. You know, we start to get worried. We cling to it too tightly. He says, you know, you want to see your faith get a jump start. Release and surrender, because you know what that does is it makes you have to engage your faith. You're not holding on in your own strength. But I would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, just speak to that person who maybe is holding on too tight, but you sure understand it. Maybe it's finances or her marriage or his business or their kids. Just what happens supernaturally when we open up our hands and surrender and trust God.
Well, you know, it's so funny, Susie, how this all works. I mean, it shouldn't be funny, but it just is the way it is. It's the way God works. As you were reading the Tozer passage, I was reminded of a passage in Isaiah. I thought, oh, maybe I'll share that with you at some point. But then this question, I'm going, oh, well, that now I understand. You know, I'm drawn back. For me, it's Isaiah 30, verse 15. It says this. It says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." And it goes on to just say, "And therefore, you know, you're going to run and become weary and worn out and exhausted, and your pursuers will be fast, and they'll be faster than you." And I think so many times in our world, we get it so backwards. The answer is exactly what Chip said. It's slow down. It's surrender. It's be still. And, you know, to speak to someone who's in that spot where you feel like you're on the hamster wheel and you just keep on running, or you feel like things are starting to spiral out of control, I just would encourage you today, friend, to say, slow down and let go and open your hands and just say, God, I surrender it to you. I have to let go and I have to trust you. And that doesn't mean that you're relinquishing the ability to understand always, because you don't always understand, but you're willing to say, you know what, God, I'm not going to try and figure it all out. And I'm going to trust the one who set the stars in place and the one who fashioned the cornerstones of this earth with my life. And that means sometimes being vulnerable with people around you. That means sometimes having conversations and being able to be real and not just feel like you have to put on your Sunday best and put on a smile, but to be able to really have people around you, you can say, you know what, here's where I'm at. Would you encourage me? Would you pray for me? Would you walk with me? And I think when we let go and let God, and we let God through the people around us, that's when our environment and our circumstances sometimes, they don't always change, but our perspective changes. You know, either we're going to focus on the situation, or we can look to the hills, look to the horizon, and look to the one who is steady and consistent. I think as I drive down the road, you know, you can look at the road and how it goes up and down, or you can look to the horizon, which doesn't change and it's consistent. And we can get caught in the wind and the waves, so to speak, of this world. But when we fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith, the wind and the waves become a very secondary thing for us.
It really is so much about where we place our focus, isn't it? I mean, it really, really is. We can make cliches out of that, but it's just, there's a supernatural reality of where we fix our gaze. We can, you know, someone once said, you know, yes, glance at the things that disturb you. I mean, acknowledge them. Don't pretend they're not there, but gaze at Jesus, where you fix your eyes. And that is just so profoundly important. And, the next song we're going to listen to, try to catch before the break here, is Faithful Still. I'd love to just hear just your thoughts behind that one.
Well, it's ironic on a day like today where there's storms out. I think many of us go through storms in life, and we go through more than we probably would care to. But the truth is that God is faithful, and he will continue to be faithful still, no matter what we face today or tomorrow.
Okay, so this is from the Strong to Save album, and here it is.
Thank you.
He stays faithful. He's faithful no matter what you're going through. He will not forsake you. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have Mark Allen in studio. We're having a time of just worship and encouragement. You are not alone, right? God is with you. When we come back, Patty called in and asked if Mark can play Amazing Grace. I'm pretty sure he knows that one. We've got a couple more albums of his to give away. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. This is Live the Promise. We're taking your requests. We've got songs to play and words of encouragement for you today. Glad you're here. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
We are talking about the book of Job, and Job has some great friends who come to his aid in a time of deep suffering, but the words that they bring to bear really aren't all that constructive over time. And so when it comes to our relationships with our friends, indeed those who can speak truth into our lives, can speak God's word and God's grace and God's mercy, are important to us, but there needs to be a level of a discernment that goes along with that, and there needs to be appropriate theology that goes along with it to enhance people and to build them up in times of great challenge. And Job's friends kind of struggle with that. They really do.
Yeah. When you think of their initial response, they came and they sat quietly for a week. And who of us could do that? So their initial, they started well, didn't they? Because they were silent and they just sat with them. And I was very impressed by that. But I think they got in trouble when they opened their mouths, because basically it's, you know what your problem is.
Yeah.
And that is a hard approach to someone who's dying on the vine.
It is. And you want to try and come in and find a reason or an excuse or something or another to explain what's transpiring. And sometimes there's nothing to explain. Just being there and sitting and encouraging someone is absolutely the best thing you can do. And so you're right. They opened their mouths and they kind of blew it because they didn't know what they were talking about.
Right. And he was a righteous man. And you think that his first string of bad news, you know, what did he do? He shaved his head. He went to the ground and he worshiped. I mean, that's a profound response to great suffering.
Well, it is. And the Bible says that in all of these things, Job did not sin. Mm. I mean, think about that for our own lives and what our response would be to the kind of atrocities that Job experienced. My goodness, the loss of his livelihood and the loss of his family. How many of us could come out on the other side of that and have no sin as a part of our response to what's just transpired? Even to the point of saying to his wife, hey, wait a minute here, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. You know, I've got to love God in spite of all of this.
Wow. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got Mark Allen in studio, singer-songwriter, worship pastor. He's got his guitar. We're singing. We're worshiping. And really hoping you can find some encouragement here, because we all go through those times of storms, and God is faithful still. One of my favorite songs off that album. We've got a few copies, thanks to Mark and Emmanuel for bringing them in. If you've a few copies, I should say, of Emmanuel Live's Strong to Save album, 877-933-2484. Ann's calling in from Eden Prairie. I think, Mark, she's got a song request for you. Ann, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much. My favorite song is Amazing Love, and I listen to it on my way to worship every week, and it just brings tears to my eyes, because I was rescued from a life of addiction to alcohol, and he just lifted me out, and the gratitude I feel and the love is just amazing.
Yeah.
And I still have trials, but he keeps blessing me. And when I have trials now, I just look for the blessing. Mm. And there always is. And he's always been faithful. And I just, we just have such an amazing God.
Oh, we do, Ann. And your spirit is just so sweet. And Mark, did you want to say anything to Ann before you sing?
Oh, just, I so love hearing stories of how God has rescued people. I mean, that takes it out of just I mean, that's what makes it so real. That's so incredible just to hear, Anne, what God has done in your life. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for calling. So here's Mark singing Amazing Love.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I'm accepted, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you, and you are my King, you are my King, Jesus, you are my King, Jesus, you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. In all I do, I honor you.
Beautiful, Mark. Thank you. And Lord, I thank you for Anne. I thank you for her redemptive story and that you're not finished yet, but you sure hear redemption in her voice. Lord, thank you for her. Bless her. And for that person listening today who's maybe engaged in addictive behavior behind the scenes or maybe opened the door to indulgences that lead to addiction, I pray in Jesus' name, rescue that person. Help them, as Mark said, to get in community and ask for help. And may that enemy not have the last say in this friend's life, in Jesus' name. So good. So good, Mark. Thank you for that. Well, here's another Tozer excerpt from The Pursuit of God. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, we face battles of so many kinds, Mark. And one of the battles that I think rages within, and the enemy definitely leverages it against us, is the fear of man and man's opinion, because we have opinions.
Yeah.
And we are so proud of our opinions and our ability at times to assess one another. And we do so much damage to each other. And that, you know, the opinions that come from us need to be redeemed. But the soul in us, so that we're not so deeply impacted by the opinions of others, also needs to be redeemed. And I think what Tozer has to say here is pretty powerful and pretty straightforward. And it is a few paragraphs, if you just indulge me for a minute, because next Mark's going to sing Lead Me to a Rock. But I want to just talk about this for a minute. I'd love to hear your insights, Mark, as someone who's in upfront ministry. No doubt you're on the receiving end of people's opinions. And so it's something you have to settle again and again. And so here it is. Tozer writes, "Let us examine our burden. It is altogether an interior one. It attacks the heart and the mind and reaches the body only from within. First, there's the burden of pride. The labor of self-love is a heavy one indeed. Think for yourself whether much of your sorrow has not arisen from someone speaking slightly of you. As long as you set yourself up as a little god to which you must be loyal, there will be those who will delight to offer an affront to your idol. How then can you hope to have inward peace? The heart's fierce effort to protect itself from every slight, to shield its touchy honor from the bad opinion of a friend and enemy, will never let the mind have rest. Continue this fight through the years, and the burden will become intolerable. Yet the sons of earth are carrying this burden continually, challenging every word spoken against them, cringing under every criticism, smarting under each fancied slight, tossing sleepless if another is preferred before them. Such a burden as this is not necessary to bear. Jesus calls us to his rest. And meekness is his method. The meek man cares not at all who's greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. He develops toward himself a kindly sense of humor and learns to say, 'Oh, so you have been overlooked. They have placed someone else before you. They have whispered that you are pretty small stuff after all. And now you feel hurt because the world is saying about you the very things you've been saying about yourself. Only yesterday you were telling God that you were nothing, a mere worm of the dust. Where's your consistency? Come on, humble yourself and cease to care what men think. Isn't that powerful?
That's unbelievable.
No, we should each read this maybe every other day.
Oh, so good.
But, you know, I know as a person, too, in a front ministry that you can mm-hmm. be on the receiving end of and people who maybe think that they know and they still don't know.
Yeah.
Or they might be right. But either way, we've got to find the peace. So what do you do and how do you get there?
Well, that's a great question. I'll let you know when I finally figure that one out, Susie.
Appreciate that, Mark.
I think you hit it on the head. He hit it on the head, really. We have to decide where our source of confidence is going to come, if it's going to come from the people around us or if it's going to come from who God says we are. I immediately, when you started reading that, one of the things that I've been learning this last year, you know, sometimes you read the word and you're like, did they just put that in there?
Yeah,
you know, something
exactly.
New. In 1 Samuel 15, right before David's anointed as king, it goes through this whole thing where it basically logs out all of the things that Saul screwed up. And almost his sins of partial obedience and the five or six things that he did. That was the shifting point when God said, I'm turning my attention from you to someone else. And one of the ones that he said, I just pulled it up. I want to read it. It's chapter 15, verse 24. He says, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them.
Hmm.
And I think that's the end. That's the nail in the coffin for us as followers of Christ, as upfront leaders in a big way or a small way. Is as soon as we become more fearful of what man thinks than fear the Lord, we've just sealed our fate. And so for me, I have to learn, and I'm still learning how to just let some things just roll off. And there's some stuff that you just go, man, I wish I didn't read that or hear that or think that. But you have to just be able to trust, okay, God, have you called me to this? You know, I say this often, if he who calls you to it is faithful to see you through it. And so in my life, in your life, if he calls us to the fight or to the fire or whatever we set our feet in, it's his responsibility to see us through. And that means that we have to trust in him, not in the words of the people around us, because there's going to be enough distractions and fiery arrows. And as our pastor used to say, some days it feels like it's raining pitchforks and bowling balls. And on those days, we have to rest and trust in who God is and who he says that we are.
Indeed. And he defends us. He delivers mm-hmm. us. And I've learned too, Mark, that the answer isn't to get big, it's to get small. Mm-hmm. Just humble ourselves because he who vindicates me is near. And I love that. Well, I love that setup to lead me to a rock. Mm-hmm. If you just say a word about that song and sing it for us.
Yeah, there's sometimes, Susie, when you write a song that you think you know why God gave it to you. And this one, I had no idea why. And then it's been time and time again that this has been the only thing that I have to share with a friend who's gone through the loss of a miscarriage or the diagnosis of a disease and the loss of a job or illness. And the truth is that the psalmist says, lead me to a rock that's higher than I, a place where I can set my feet that's a firm foundation. And so when the sorrow and things that we face feel like they're overwhelming or they're coming in at us, we have to set our feet on a rock. Let me not be overwhelmed by the sorrow when uncertainty is knocking on my door. I will fix my eyes on Jesus, this life's author, whose faithfulness has followed all the way. And teach my heart to trust the heart of heaven with the things that my mind can't understand. I remember that my God always delivers, and I will rest in the safety of his hand. So lead me to a rock higher than I, an anchor for my soul in every trial. The presence that surrounds me, the love that never fades. Jesus, be my rock, my source of strength. Jesus, lead me toward the promise of tomorrow. May
Your spirit lead and guide me day by day. May I know within the trial you are still sovereign, and I will choose to follow you all of the way. So lead me to a rock higher than I, an anchor for my soul in every trial. The presence that surrounds me, the love that never fades. Jesus, be my rock, my source of strength. He has and he will continue to deliver me. He has, 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 he will continue. So lead me to a rock higher than I, an anchor for my soul in every trial. The presence that surrounds me, the love that never fades. Jesus, be my rock, my source of strength. And Jesus, be my rock, my source of strength. Oh, oh, oh,
oh. Absolutely powerful, Mark. And that's going to be on the next album, isn't it?
It will be,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about Jesus today, and, well, this is about Jesus, too. I just celebrate and honor the gift of God in you, Mark.
Thank you.
Marvel, and I appreciate it. And your beautiful wife, too. Wow, what an amazing woman she is.
She is.
Psalm 61 says, "Oh, God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings." So beautiful. And again, that's where we go when the storm rages, when that enemy flaunts and taunts, we run to that rock and we get a perspective from the Lord. And Patty called in earlier and she wanted to know if you would play Amazing Grace. Wonder if you'd be willing to do that for her.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, I was thinking about grace. I'm working on a book. I've got a few chapters left to go. And one of the lines that I wrote, I'm not going to quote it myself exactly, even though I wrote it. But anyway, about grace not inviting us to slothful ease or frantic striving. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we look at grace as I'm in grace. And so as if that's licensed to just sort of be in a place of sloth and ease. Nor is it for frantic. There won't be grace for frantic striving. We're to cease striving. But the two invitations, there's more, but the two main invitations when I look at grace is grace that sets us free, that saves us, but also empowers us.
That's good.
So we are covered, we are called, but we're also empowered to do above and beyond all we could ever dare to ask or think. And I was just thinking about that as you were singing that last verse, when we've been there 10,000 years, this is our time to engage our faith, to rely on God's grace. And as we follow his lead, we really can't fail. We might fail and fall initially, but every act prompted by our faith is precious to him and echoes into eternity. And so when you think about that, Mark, even for your own life, and for your little darling children and your marriage and ministry, when you think about the grace that empowers, I mean, in the church that you work at and serve at, how would you dream? When you think of grace that empowers above and beyond Mark's abilities, but a God who is mighty and has been faithful to you, how do you dream?
Wow. Well, we talk about how you dream. It changes when you have little people running around your house.
It sure does.
And so our kids are learning the concept of grace, where there's times where they've done something that warrants, you know, a timeout or punishment, and we talk through it and we go, you know what, this time I'm going to give you grace. And they're starting to learn, and it's fun to watch the two of them go, I'm going to give you grace now, and, you know, between the two of them. And so, you know, that there's big dreams, and then there's dreams that things like that that I start to see, and I go, oh, Lord, continue to build that into my kids, that they would be grace-filled people. So on a real practical level, my prayer as a parent has turned into, God, just I pray that you would give grace to them, that there would be things that I would do that wouldn't screw them up too much, you know, and then God, that they would turn out all right in spite of some of the mistakes that I make along the way as a parent. But even in life and ministry, I think dreams of grace, I have dreams for the day that grace is discovered by our neighbors on the right and on the left that we've begun building relationships with. And you know, just people that are incredible people, and they're just searching for something and not sure what yet. And dreams for me are the day that they come home and encounter that grace for the first time and to be able to be part of that journey of theirs. That's unbelievable. And then even as a church, for us to be a part of a body of believers, a group of people that collectively are saying, you know, God, we want to press into you. We want to chase you, and we want to see kingdom advance, not just in this building in the church, but in our lives Monday through Saturday. And so even what I'm dreaming for my neighbors, just seeing people come together on the weekends who are having that same heart mentality that are saying, God, I want to live it. I don't want to just have it be my Sunday hour and 15-minute experience, but I want to live it, and I want to live in that grace and be grace-filled people in the lives that we live.
Mm, so beautiful. And, you know, Scripture is clear. He rewards those who earnestly go after him. And so it's not a one-way relationship. You know, it's just not a good idea to run hard after God. I mean, we're running hard after him. He moves in our midst. He's present in the company of the righteous. And as you've got this group of people running hard after the Lord, saying, use me, you know, to help make dreams come true of people who are living in poverty right around our church. Use me, God, to reach out to that lost neighbor. I mean, the ripple effect is amazing, you know, when you think about it. Well, we've got time for one more call. Nancy's calling in from Forest Lake with a song request. I think you've probably got this one, Mark. Nancy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so pleased and blessed by just your conversation today together. And I just see how, even in my own experience, how difficult it is in these trying times to feel the power and the strength of God, especially when there is so much kind of coming against believers right now. And so would you be willing to play Before the Throne of God Above by Selah?
It's a good song. I don't know that one well enough to play it.
Okay, he'll know it by next time.
I'll know it by next time. You call back next time, Nancy. We'll be ready to go.
And Nancy, I'll play that on tomorrow's show just for you, okay?
Oh, bless your heart. I love you, Susie.
Love you, and I love that song. That's amazing. How about you sing Cornerstone? Would you sing that one? We are anchored upward. I want you just to think about that. Anchored. The anchor holds within the veil. We are anchored upward to God. Let's hear it.
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Ooh, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, and through the storm, He is Lord. Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Trust in His righteousness alone, and fall a stand before the throne. He's Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. On Christ alone, the cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Absolutely. Sacred time today, Mark. Thank you. Thank you for taking time to come in.
Thanks, Susie. Opportunity. It was great to be with you today.
Appreciate you so very much. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show on our website. I really pray that your soul found some nourishment here today. That was the goal. Yet enter God's presence where the fullness of joy is found. Remember this. I say it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.